Well, a very good evening to you out there. This Monday evening is very cold Monday evening, actually, here in Tralee. It's Terrace Talk coming live to you in Radio Kerry with me, Donal Barry. It'll be with you till 8 o'clock this evening with a show that features darts, basketball, and of course, Jay. And of course, if you want to get in contact with us, any views or comments, please do. Nothing has really changed. 066 712 3666. Ivan's behind the phone. He'll answer there for you. And you can text or WhatsApp us on 083 300 3300. Quite a lot of comments already on the McGrath Cup, and we'll get to them in the second hour this evening. And also, if you're kind of time framing your show this evening, just after 7 o'clock this evening, we have a very good interview with the former chairman now of St. Kieran's, Jerome O'Shea, who, believe it or not, vacated his top seat after 38 years. And there's fellas here in the studio who haven't said 38 years as chair of anything yet, so you never know. So stay tuned. And of course, around 7:30 this evening, John Kennedy and James McCarthy, they'll give us an old quick call, and we'll have a look back at the Munster Football and Hurling League as well. Congratulations, of course, to Listowel on a fantastic win, secured their All-Ireland Junior Final berth next Sunday with a great win at the weekend. And of course, it was a case of hard luck for Tralee Garvey Warriors at the weekend, lost out at buzzer beater in the end, knocking them out of the cup. Well, just after about 6:30 this evening, I'll be chatting to some of those involved in this year's Kerry Basketball Cup Finals, and that's not to be missed. But where will we start? But in the world of darts. Now, if you were one of the many, many people that decided to take the whole Christmas on the couch and watch darts, well, you were joined by a record audience of 4.8 million people tuning in to watch the 2023-24 World Darts Championship final between Luke Humphreys and Luke Littler. It's an amazing amount of people, and it's the most ever to watch a darts event on Sky, and of course people watch it all over the place. And of course everybody knows the story of the two Lukes and the whole lot. And so we decide tonight to take a quick peep, I suppose, in at the Kerry darts scene, of which it is quite vibrant. But from time to time it can be kind of quiet, I suppose. We'd unearth it, and we have a panel this evening. We have John McCarthy, captain of the Kerry darts team for this year. Paul Cronin joins us as well. He's chairman of the Kerry Darts Town League. Sally Reeves, ladies player with the Kerry Darts, and has played with every darts team in the whole of Clarny at this stage, because we were going through.
Go that far now, yeah. Just a long way back. Yeah.
If you're out there and you're looking for a darts player, Sally Belong. And Mort Downey joins us, a late substitution. Cass Lyle man, but he's really a Brosnan man, isn't he?
That's correct.
Absolutely. He's going to sing the song for us and all at the end. I don't know where to start or who to start with, but I'm going to start with John McCarthy, obviously captain of the Kerry darts team. It might have come as a shock to me, but Kerry has a darts team?
Yeah, it can surprise many, I suppose. Most Kerry people in sport are used to using their feet to get to a good head in sport. But no, Kerry darts has been going now for a significant time. It's had some good success in Munster. And yeah, there's many throwers around north and south that are quite enjoying the game of darts in Kerry currently.
Yeah, and of course, it's guessed, because obviously darts, to me, would be a very individual sport, and you kind of turn up and play with your club or your pub or your business on a night and the whole lot. But to think that there's an inter-county aspect to it, obviously, is kind of exciting as well, and it's a development step as well for a lot of good darts players.
Yeah, for sure. Like, County Darts has been around for a while, but a lot of players, when they are playing locally, are only used to that. But the good thing now is that County Darts has got such popularity in the last maybe 5 to 6 years that people now know that they can play for their county. And yeah, the experience of going up to playing in Ireland with your county is definitely second to none. And thankfully us here at the table, we've had that experience.
Yeah, and you were in action at the weekend?
We were up playing the Munster Championship in Newcastle, where we took home the Shield, beating Waterford 7-0 in the final. So wow. Yeah, good result, and with the All-Ireland zone next February, it's a nice little stepping stone, a bit momentum, and yeah, we're hoping to bring Kerry back their first ever All-Ireland in February.
Absolutely, and not only have we a men's team, we have a ladies' team, Sally.
Certainly have, yeah. Yeah. We're going from strength to strength.
Explain the ladies' section, obviously. I mean, we're watching it, and ladies' sports is kind of developing and growing and the whole lot, and again, I suppose in many aspects it follows on behind the men's sport, but in the darts world, it's equal in that sense.
We never follow behind. Very much so, yeah. And our Kerry ladies panel has increased so much over the last few years. We've gone from sort of just having barely scraping through sort of 7 or 8, 9 players, we need 7 for a team, to now having a panel of sort of 17, 18, 19 ladies coming from Cara Savine, Ken Mayer, out County Bounds, Corkway, you know, so really growing strength to strength. And everyone from, we've broken a record this year, because we have 3 generations of ladies all playing on the Kerry team.
Oh, wow.
We have Maureen, Tanya and McCormick, and Clodagh Moriarty, who is Maureen's granddaughter, who's just started with us at 16. She played her first county game on Saturday in Newcastle West. Super to see it happening, you know. So it's all ages, you know, it's everybody. And we are just... we seem to have so many ladies at the moment that are interested in joining. So what we're just saying to people is come along to the trials, you know, find out where we are, come along, join in. You know, it's fun.
Yeah. And Mort, it is a type of game, to be fair. You just need three darts and off you go. I mean, obviously you get better and better while you get practicing the whole lot, but it's not a big entry-level sport.
Well, we don't all start off as good as Luke Little, I put it like that too. you'll start at any level, and there will be a competition for every level available. I mean, there's competitions from Listowel to Tralee to Killarney, and in different standards in leagues and different league tables, different Division 1, Division 2. You'll find a place to play if you want to play darts, and there's no better way to socialise than a game of darts.
Mm-hmm. And I love the way people say play darts, because obviously in most sports they compete and the whole lot, but it seems to have that social aspect of it as well, Mort.
Oh, very much so. Like John will tell you there, we'll be the highest arrivals on a board in any tournament, but when you put a county jersey or come together for a bar team for a league, you're the best of buddies, and go out again the following day. You could be playing with a fellow on a Friday night and against him on a Saturday, but always the best of friends.
No shouldering or no talking or...
Not really, no.
Not really. He didn't say no, he said not really. Come here, before we get county teams, obviously we need competitions to play, and the Clarny Darts Town League, it's going quite a while. I'm joined by Paul Cronin. How long are you here now?
We started in 1998, Donald. So yeah, if you take out COVID, I suppose we're going, is it 21? This could be 22 years.
Yeah.
For something that we thought might only last 5 or 6 years, we're getting a good run out of it.
And you're only getting your second win now.
Yeah, this is about the third or fourth win. I keep threatening to retire or trying to pull back, but for some reason I'm still here. So,
but there must be fierce excitement about it, because I work in a school, obviously, a presentation man in Killarney, and for a certain time of the year there's a conversation about darts at the table. Obviously, you know, they're playing in the various competitions and the whole lot. How much and how hard is it to organise that, or is it because it's so successful fellas are flocking back to play it again the following year?
I suppose, to be honest, the biggest eye opener we had was actually COVID. When COVID was here, and obviously there was nothing happening, we were a bit slow getting back to get started, and we didn't really know if the interest was going to be there. So when we did start, we were actually very, very surprised, especially how many new faces were there. Fellas that we hadn't realised were actually into darts. Younger generation were after coming back into it. It was simply the social aspect of it as well. An awful lot of it was the social side. So it has come on leaps and bounds actually since, and it is getting bigger and bigger.
You play darts yourself?
Unfortunately, yeah. I try.
What was your entry to darts? I'm going to ask you all the same question, obviously, because, I mean, I asked this question before with other darts people, and some people said, look, it was my grandfather out in the shed giving me this, or I followed my father to the local bar or whatever it was at various times. Different fellas have different entry points. What was your entry to darts? Where did you find
darts? My entry to darts was actually my grandparents' house.
Oh, stop.
They had 13 kids altogether, but I think 11 of them, I think, played darts.
Wow.
So every Sunday, there was a major competition in the house on a Sunday. So I literally started, I think it was 8 or 9 when I actually started throwing. So yeah, I'm throwing with a bit.
Yeah. And of course, the other side of the throwing, obviously, it's not an easy enough sport. There's obviously the counting and the mental side of it, which is a huge aspect to it.
Yeah, massive. Like you would see beginners starting, and within a year or two, you can see their mats have come on an awful lot, their subtraction. Whereas before, they had to stop to look to see what they were going for. Now they can just automatically go for it.
Yeah.
It's fantastic for kids like that. Look at Luke Littler. I didn't see him stopping once trying to work out what he had.
No. Don't tell him he stopped, he was in trouble. He wasn't in trouble too often. John, the same as yourself. Obviously, you're not there 100 years playing it. Where did you start it?
Yeah, I'd love to have a story where from a young age, I just had love for it. But as a college student, when a mate approached me and said, you can go to the New Barn on Monday night and throw some darts at the club, it was a fairly easy yes. But then after a couple of years, I actually started to grow a bit of a bug for it. As was mentioned earlier, the kind of social element you get and the camaraderie, and there's even friends from UCC that are still one of my best mates to today. I just loved it, and then thankfully decided to play with Kerry, and yeah, it's been 6-7 years now, and it's...
What's the attraction? What's the bug? Obviously the social side of it, but I mean, do you find that after a while it is a social thing, but God knows I'm not bad at this now, to be fair, and you know, I mightn't be able to play football, or I mightn't be a great hurler, I mightn't be a great bowler or whatever, but God, I'm quite good at this.
Yeah, no, for sure. Like, it depends on that competitive bug that you get. Like, so we'll say I would have played football for Douala years, and like when you beat your man on the field wherever you're playing, you get that kind of like satisfaction of that. it's tenfold playing darts because you're playing an opponent pretty much every 15-20 minutes. And when you start kind of getting wins under your belt, you start like enjoying it a lot. And then you have those kind of drives to get into teams, to go further and win leagues, to win singles competitions, to make your county team. So it's very, very quick natured where like these wins and competitions come up so often that you can kind of get that satisfaction. But unfortunately as well, the dissatisfaction of losing out in some games or competitions as well. But you got to take the positives and negatives as well to be
fair. Absolutely. Only one man can win it or one woman can win it. Your entry, Sally?
Well, I played league darts in the UK way back when, long time ago.
In the days of Bullseye, Bully.
Probably just before that. No, and our league was, it was actually darts and dominoes.
Oh, yes.
Played in the UK. So you played a darts match and then you played a dominoes game. And you know, it was like it was a dual sport, if you like. You know, and then I moved here, I moved to Ireland in 92. So I played in Limerick in the town league, and then I came here in 97, and I've been playing darts in or around Killarney for, I think, 99, Paul, would it have been?
Yeah, 99, I think you joined
us. Yeah, not far off, so. Yeah, and then I joined the Kerry Ladies about five years ago.
Yeah. Sally, the attraction of darts, I mean, go back to the UK, obviously it's a huge sport in the UK, growing in Ireland, and it's actually growing internationally, and we'll talk about that maybe later on as well, with the amount of, I suppose, new faces, new flags in the World Championships, and it's amazing that anybody can kind of qualify along a route. Fantastic. It's a huge sport in the UK.
Massive, yeah, and growing all the time, I think. You know, a lot of us aren't built to play soccer or football or hurling, do you know, and it's something you can play, you can succeed at, you can enjoy, and it's very much you know, the team spirit, and you know, like John was saying earlier, you can be playing with someone 1 minute and against them the next, and it's all done in the it's all sport, it's all good fun, you know.
Mort Brusna, darts. What age did you start up?
I started
about 4 or 7.
I was 6 or 7. My father Willie, a lot of us who date when I was young, but he was an avid dart player. He used to go almost every weekend. There was a tournament in every field in what used to be the Palace Inn.
Oh yeah.
And there used to be a tournament there. He played singles and he also played doubles with his brother Janja, who's still around. And they were pretty good dart players. And like your story about the board and the shed, that's how we started as young fellas.
Yeah. And can you remember, obviously vividly, as a 6 or 7 year old sitting up on a stool somewhere watching a big darts game with your late father?
I can, of course. I can remember going to him when I was about 9 and telling him I was after scoring 1-3-4. He asked me how I did it, and I think it was 18, 16, 16. He said, very scattered darts.
Oh, no way. He was a true professional.
Professional. Do it right or don't do it right.
Oh, my God. My God, 1-3-4 wasn't such a bad one to check out on.
Wouldn't be offered that way now, though.
No. Paul, the growth of darts, and I suppose the support of, I suppose clubs are different. Obviously, we talk football and you have your various clubs. A lot of clubs are businesses and they're vital to growing the game as well.
Yeah, like obviously we're based in Killarney and we've been so lucky over the years. The support that we get from the local bars is absolutely phenomenal. Every year, anything we ask for, they will provide. No questions asked. We try to give a little bit back, obviously.
Of course.
As with finals and things like that. And thank God this year now we have a new main sponsor again, the Arbutus Hotel. So we'd like to say thank you for them this year for coming on board. But yeah, they've been fantastic all through the years. Like when we started, I think we'd 6 teams, I think, the very first year. It was kind of a done thing that time that the bar would provide maybe a little bit of food or sandwiches or something on the night. But then they started to give you a free drink.
Okay.
Because they were happy for the business as well, obviously. And it just kind of carried on. Like I said, we're nearly 25 years later and that free drink is still going around.
Somebody's picking it up somewhere.
Yeah.
The whole darts aspect, though, I mean, entry level and the whole lot, Paul, I mean, I'm sitting at home tonight and I'm listening and saying, God, I never thought my son could play football, this or that, but God, he might play darts, or the dart board arrived at Christmas time. I mean, Santi was a very busy man, the whole lot. Where can you enter? Where can you find out? I mean, obviously you're the Clarny side, but obviously there's a county aspect.
Yeah, there is, of course, county. Social media has been fantastic for darts over the last few years. Obviously, nearly everyone now has a mobile phone, so Facebook is huge.
Yep.
Huge. So it's very easy to find fixtures, where they're on. Like the lad said, there's always Kerry trials nearly every couple of weeks now. There's actually a Kerry trial. It's very easy just to turn up on the day. You register and that's it. Very, very simple. Like that, the Clarny League, mad looking for players. Every pub is always looking for players. So anyone that's willing to give it a go, just call into any place.
So if I'm an individual and I can play darts and I've arrived back from the UK, or I'm a college student who's never played before, I could rock up and some guy will put me on a team and off
quite,
we go.
Quite literally, just ask the guy inside the counter and he will put you the right way, because every one of them knows about it.
Brilliant, absolutely. And of course, that I suppose, Sally, that's the kind of welcoming aspect of a sport that it might be there in other sports, but it's certainly there in darts. I mean, it seems to be a very friendly welcoming. You see them, I suppose, the big welcome when they walk up, everybody's clapping for them. And there's that kind of great support.
Absolutely. I mean, we've had a lot of ladies this year coming up from Carsevine. And, you know, they've come up, one or two have heard about us, they've come up. And
it's a great part of the world now, Sally, so don't be upsetting the Carsevine people.
We love them, what can I say? they came in and they walked in through the door and they said, well, we've wanted to come, but we were a bit, you know, we didn't know what sort of reception we'd get and everything. And I said, look, if you're here for an absolutely deadly serious never smile game of darts, you're in the wrong place.
Right.
Because it's a team game and it's all about, you know, getting to know each
other. Explain the team function, how the team sport works. Obviously, we're watching the darts on the telly and it's one guy versus another guy or one guy against a woman. But the team aspect is how's that
so
work
the team, out? The way the team works is there. So for the ladies, there's seven, and for the men, there's 13. Plus you've got your subs, two or three subs, and everybody goes up and plays their game. Mm-hmm. And the way the reason it's a team sport is because it's the best of so many games.
Okay.
So if we play seven, realistically, we need to win four to win that.
Okay.
Competition, if you like.
Yeah. And you would mix them, obviously. You'd have singles games, you'd have doubles games, and that's the way it
you would in the town league, absolutely. Yeah. Not so much in the county games.
You'd be separate.
It would be singles, but you're playing as a team, so all the games count.
Fair enough, yeah. So it's kind of Ryder Cup esque in the sense that you play for your point and then the next game plays for their point.
And everybody plays their own game, but at the same time, everybody swaps and changes. So if you've got nine players and there's seven games, we'll all take it in turns to play.
Yeah. You know? And the interest must get bigger and bigger as night goes on, because the first game gone, the second game gone, might be 2-1 or 3-1. There's probably a lot more pressure on you playing last, is there, if it's 3-all maybe?
I guess. Yeah. But the way we do it, because the men and the women would be playing in the same place. So if we've finished our games, we'd go and support the men. And if the men have finished, they'll come and support the women. So it's real, kind of, and we'd be standing on chairs and come on, and you know, it's really good. Really good.
Flags and bunting and everything. Yeah. Well, listen, guys, stay with us because we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back again. We have another good 15 minutes to talk about the darts. My guests this evening are John McCarthy, Paul Cronin, Sally Reeves, and Mort Downey. And we'll take a quick break now.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
We're talking about darts this evening, and of course we're talking about the Kerry aspect of things as well, and we're in the company of Sally Reeves, John McCarthy and Mort Downey, as well as Paul Cronin. We're going to bench Paul Cronin now for a while. I think, God, we're sick of talking about Clare now at this stage. We might concentrate on Kerry again. John, there's actually a huge youth wing to it as well.
There's a new school after opening called Kerry Youth Start School by one of the IND.O committee members, Christopher Curran. And the best thing about this, obviously, as seeing Luke Littler and what he's done and the interest that's going to drive it, young players around Kerry and around the world, it's a school where kids from a level of zero can attend and they can actually learn how to play. So not only can they come to play people around their own age, but they're actually taught about what's the right way to stand, the right way to throw, and it's a really nice way of actually bridging into the game for young players around Kerry.
Mm-hmm. And where can you get information on that?
So if you go again on Facebook, there's a page for the Kerry Youth Darts, and as well, just adding Christopher Curran, it's running the stall weekly, which is quite good. As well, the one other thing to call out, we do have our final trial coming up on the 3rd of February, which will be on in the Crown in Castle Island. So for anyone listening who wants to give it a go and potentially get a Kerry jersey on their back, they're more than able to attend, which will be quite interesting.
And what's the standard then, like you go out, you represent Kerry, you're taking on Cork and Tip and Waterford and the whole lot. What's that level?
It's fairly high and it's getting higher year on year, so there's now more competitions more than ever, especially after COVID, to play in locally, which means that players coming up to the All-Irelands is quite strong. And for some of your listeners who might be into darts a bit and with no averages, you'd probably be up in the 70s and 80s, which wouldn't be too far away from the TV now. But there's some cracking players playing for a lot of counties including Kerry, and there's actually a good selection gone over to try and get their tour card from today. Mm-hmm. So a lot of players have travelled over to the UK from today until end of week trying to get their PDC tour cards.
Yeah. And of course the tour card is kind of the first step on the road to all the big stuff.
It is. So, and as we discussed about the entry to darts being like quite nice and quite open, any player can play it. So you pay £450 sterling, and it's a 4-day competition, and if you're good enough, if you're in, I think there's 12 cards being given out. If you're one of those 12, you're now a professional dart player.
Mm-hmm. And off you go then.
Off you go.
Fingers crossed, I think it's a good draw. Come here to me, Sally. Are you amazed at I won't say the growth of darts, because obviously you're inside that circle, but the phenomenal amount of people talking about darts, obviously every Christmas when we're watching on telly and the whole lot, and we're all great supporters and we probably don't want to play it, but we love watching it, and we get enthralled in the whole thing. I mean, the likes of Luke Littler, what has he done for the sport?
Oh, amazing, isn't it? It's just amazing, you know, how good he is for his age, really, isn't it? And absolutely everyone's talking about it. But also there's a lot of you'll see people suddenly start buying dartboards and darts. You know, people going into shops going, right, okay, we've got to get one now and we've got to start playing. And that's where it starts. It starts from the parents buying them for children for Christmas, do you know, and the interest just, I think it just builds. And for me, I have two teenagers, and maths for me is the best. Darts and maths, it's the best way of teaching anyone maths, because it's fun. Mm-hmm. And they'll teach every aspect, they'll learn every aspect of maths, because you have to be able to multiply the doubles and the trebles.
That's right.
Add them to the rest of the score, take them away from 501, and then work out what's that finish.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so it's very good, yeah. But it's just, someone like Luke Littler is just, it just builds on, and youth darts now is just gonna, it's just gonna be amazing.
Explode. Mort, any trouble with your adding and counting and subtracting, or did you get better over the years?
Well, I'm able to add it up and make up what I've left, but the actual finish of it for the three darts is the difficult part, I'm afraid.
Speak about that part of it, obviously, because we, to the amateurs of the world who watch it, like you get from 501 sometimes down very fast, and more times you're struggling for 45s and whatever in between. The actual finish, I mean, you're sitting at home and you're throwing a double 20 at your ease. Is it harder when you have nine fellas and Kate Pets or somewhere watching you?
There is pressure on that. Definitely.
And where does it come from? It's the fact that you're afraid you're going to miss it, or is it a mental thing, or how do you draw on it?
Well, if you're playing a singles game, you're playing for yourself, but you're playing a county game, you're playing for your team, and then the pressure is, you're not just winning a leg for you, you're winning a leg for your county.
Yeah. And when you miss the first one and you have three darts to get a double 10 or something, and you end up then shooting a 5, and then you have to go a 1 and a double, whatever. And are you, at that stage, is there something in the head saying, God, you're going to miss this now as well, you're going to miss the next one?
Well, you can get to a certain point where if you were there for the night, you wouldn't hit it. But sometimes they'll go the first one. It's just like you'll get nights of form and you will not miss a double. More nights, you wouldn't hit one if you were 20 darts.
And when you're sitting at home and you're watching the likes of Luke Humphreys, who, God, he was pretty flawless, to be fair, like he was shooting the lights out. But he barely made it over the line in the, was it the quarterfinal against Cullen, was it? He went to the final thing, he was pushed all the way. And obviously he got momentum as he went along. But when you're looking at the likes of him and you see him missing three darts for a double thing, are you saying, well, yeah, it just proves he's fairly human?
They still have to stand back 7'9¼" from a board and throw it, and it's a small area when you're aiming at it, and the more the pressure is, the smaller the area he gets.
Yeah.
It's an optical illusion that on the board when you're watching it on television how big the dartboard looks, but if you take a real dartboard in a real scenario, it doesn't look as good as, or as big as it does on the television.
Absolutely.
We're still 7'9" back with a piece of tungsten that's anything from 19 to 30, or in Shane McCormick's case 42 grams weight, that will, you have to put into a pinpoint.
Yeah. And do you have all your own darts then? I mean, do you have your own particular dart?
Yes.
Manufactured set that you like to play with, you
I've
wouldn't share.
Probably the same style of dart with 30 odd years.
Yeah.
Wouldn't change.
And is there a different style? Because I see Brendan Dolan, for example. I mean, he tends to be, I won't say old-fashioned because I'm looking at the outside, but he tends to take it nice and easy and calm, and he throws the whole lot. Whereas a lot of younger fellas are, you know, they're fairly, everything seems to go all right.
With somebody, not saying Brendan Dolan or anybody in particular, but the slowing down can be a tactic.
Oh, so you're kind of unintentionally upsetting the next fella coming up.
His rhythm. But yes. Like they have, every fella has their own style. As you see, Brendan Dolan, there was, like Luke Littler, Ricky Evans, control 3 darts in 3 seconds.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And score well with him. He's a professional at that. Like, you don't want to go back to, what was Martin Pipe, is it?
Justin Pipe.
Justin Pipe could take 3 minutes to throw 3 darts.
Oh, stop it. Fair play. Do you remember growing up with John Lowe and Eric Bristow on the TV?
Well, not personally, but yes, I did, yeah.
Yeah, but they were the big names at the time. Absolutely. I mean, obviously, and if you look back at the old footage now...
They were our idols.
The cigarette was and the hand and the...
Yeah. Our era, yeah.
And they were the people that kind of influenced people in and the whole lot. And it became a big sport and people know. But I joked earlier about Bully, but I mean, obviously, I mean, that was on our television screens as well.
And everybody. Still on, I still watch
it.
Is it
still
on?
He was telling mad jokes. I don't know what half the jokes that he was telling then be allowed.
Stay out of the black and into the red, there's nothing in this game for three in a bed. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, God almighty. Didn't think that'd ever be on Terrace Talk. Come here, Paul Cronin. It's a great competition to be in. It's a great sport to be in. We said earlier that there's an easy enough entry into the whole lot. There seems to be no age group that you can start or even end.
No, to be fair, like Dale, that we all know, plays Kerry darts. His grandfather was, I think, in his 90s, was it? And he was throwing as good as any guy in his 30s, I can assure you. Wow. You'd earn your stripes against him. Like, so yeah, it keeps fellas young, actually, I think, a lot of them. Actually, the guy that actually taught me how to play originally, besides my grandparents' place, he was definitely in his 80s, and he was as solid as any fella. So I wouldn't rule anyone out, to be honest.
So when you step up to the...
You step up to the hockey.
So throw it in and you look across and you think your man's 84, don't be fooled.
Yeah.
He's been throwing darts for 60 years, so he obviously knows what's going on.
He'd be the one leave at the end of the night with a few quid in his pocket, whereas I was watching.
And of course, Mort, it's a game that hasn't changed over the years. It's still a dartboard and darts. I mean, a lot of sports, the balls get lighter or heavier, or the bets get stronger or wider, the whole lot. It's still just darts the way it was played in the 50s, 60s.
Well, the boards have changed, as in their razor wire, and they're probably better standard, the high, larger scoring areas, but it's still the same area of a dart board, same distance, and you have to throw it. It's the precision, it's the hand-eye coordination. Like, when you go to professionals, they're spending probably 5-6 hours a day practicing to get to that level.
Wow. The practice to get on the Kerry team, to sustain it, to keep going, the whole lot, obviously people will enjoy what they're doing, but would you spend hours at home now trying, or how's it work? You don't have to break any secrets or anything, but the amount of training to get to a certain level.
Yeah, for sure. Like, it's similar to other sports where at the start in particular, there's a lot of time you'll put in, and the amount of time you put in to start will let you know kind of what level you can get to. And for sure, at the start, I would have put in, as a college student coming home from college.
loads of hours,
you know, not much responsibility. So a good bit of time was put in. But it's down to the individual, like any sport. It's the individual, do you want to play for your county? How far do you want to get? So nowadays, I'd try and put in an hour a day as best I can. But the lucky thing is, with the Clarny League now and with Kerry County Trials, you've competitive darts maybe twice a week, three times a week to play. And even there's a lovely competition in Kilcommon with the ADC, which gives us a chance of actually making TV as well with the Modus, which is quite cool. So we could play it three times a week. So you're getting that competitive, like proper practice, and then they practice at home, which is quite handy.
Mm-hmm. And it's the kind of sport that at different times of the year you can play professionals. I mean, they are on tour and they turn up in the most amazing places and the whole lot. What's that like?
Yeah, so you'd have an exhibition circuit, so a lot of players playing it. So I've played Bunting back in Tremor. It used to be a great festival. It was the first year he was in the Premier League. And to be fair, no, he beat me quite handily. But it was quite fun. It was a great experience. So, like, meeting these guys, and even I was over in Bristol with Dale McCarthy and Dave Stack. We qualified to go over, and Terry De Bull Jenkins, if you might remember him, he's still playing the amateur circuit, and I had a great chat with him, and we had a great practice. So it is really cool to see these people that we would idolise or seen like on TV, and be able to play beside them, practice beside them, and try and nick a leg or two, or maybe have less than 200 points maybe on the board while they're fading their way down.
Absolutely amazing. And of course, you mentioned Carspine earlier. Back in the day before Phil won his, I don't know what, 600,000 titles that he won every year, he actually played in Carspine. Mm-hmm. And he played in Tom's Tavern, and I think the one night, I mean, it was like there was a queue of people coming in around the door, and he was playing and playing and playing and playing, and nobody took a set off him. But the closest to him actually on the night was PJ Donovan from Carspine. He became a councillor afterwards. I don't know whether he left one win or whatever, but I mean, he was as close as he got to him. A lot of great darts players. Listen, guys, I enjoyed the chat. It was absolutely fantastic. John, the very best of luck with all the Kerry career, as well as yourself, Sally. You're not transferring to your club now, you're happy where you are.
I'm happy where I am. Thank you very much.
You have the contract negotiated and everything. Mort, fair play, keep up the good work. And Paul, I suppose you should be set for retirement, should you?
Yeah, getting close enough to it now.
Could I mention a tournament on this Friday evening, the Sleeve Mission Tralee? It's in memory of Gerard Nibbs Namuk, and all proceeds will be going to the Irish Cancer Society. It starts at 5 o'clock this Friday evening, the Sleeve Mission Tralee.
Great student, Paul, back in the day.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe it's still a great student pub, is it?
I think it's still doing well in that regard, all right.
Good stuff. Absolutely. Listen, guys, thanks very much. The very best of luck. You're doing fantastic work. And we won't leave it as long again before we talk about darts.
Sure.
Absolutely. We know where you are now, anyway. I might even turn up in my left hand now someday and try throwing them. Absolutely fantastic with the darts crew, and they're just gone off there now. I suppose they've gone off practicing and plenty of work ahead of them as well. And of course, it wasn't the only sport that was on over the last number of weekends. Basketball, of course, is coming to a part of its season where we're getting down to kind of cup action. Of course, everybody's supporting Tralee Garvey Warriors, and such hard luck, I suppose, on Saturday evening. They came back from 17 points down. I thought they were going to actually do it, and then to lose out to kind of a buzzer beater, just a shot thrown in, bang, and they end up losing by 2 points. And of course, that follows on because it is basketball season. It's basketball season here in Kerry as well. And on Saturday, I must say, I spent an enjoyable afternoon, an awful lot of hours actually there as well, at the Kerry Basketball Cup Finals, and it was the boys' section under 13, 14, 15 and 17. And before I got going at all, I lined up Mikey Fleming, the Kerry Basketball chairman, and all-round T-man actually on the day, and handing out the sandwiches and general organiser, and I asked him about the sport. Now I'm joined by Mikey Fleming, chairman of the Kerry Area Basketball Board. It's a very exciting day, it's a very busy day.
Yeah, it's probably one of our more important days. We're underage cups are on today and tomorrow. You're kindly sponsored by Kerry Airport, like, and without Kerry Airport would not be possible. And as you've seen, Dave, Donal, you've been here all day, and there's lovely crowds, you know, good games, and it's all about the kids. And once the kids are happy, the rest of us we'll find our happiness somewhere along the line.
Yeah, and there's great competition there as well. I mean, there's different clubs from all over the county competing. They come, they do their business, they head away home, and there's a great family atmosphere around.
Yeah, you see, if you look after the younger people, you know, their parents will come and they see that they're being looked after, you know. They can't go out, they're stamped, you know, and it's all about the kids at the end of the day, you know. We're the wrong side of 15, so, you know, it's never going to be about us, but we always try and make it about the kids, and it's very important that they play in front of a crowd. You know, they could play their league games and maybe there'd be 4 or 5 people in it, but like this, what, 200 or 300 people out there today, you know, and it's great, you know, and they're back to school Monday and they'll be telling their fellas at school what we were playing in St. Mary's Blitz at Christmas, and then the following weekend we were playing the Kerry County Cup Championships and all that, and they're lovely crowds, and as you can see, the atmosphere is very good.
Mm-hmm. And how important is it, because we are talking about the youths, I suppose, playing. It's a cup final, it's a county cup final. Yeah. It's the best two teams in the county, yeah, in the age group. They're going out, they're well talked out, they're well managed, they're well looked after in the whole day, well officiated and the whole lot. So really, you're making a kind of a national final and giving them that experience.
Yeah, you see, like, it's their FA Cup or whatever you want to call it, like, you know. I can guarantee you some of them probably didn't sleep last night and all that. And that's very important, so that they get to feel that, you know. And that's for the Division 1s. Then we have the Division 2 and 3, and we have competitions for them. And they're later on, they're in a couple of weeks' time. And there'll be as much people here for them, because even though we call it the plates, but it's actually the Division 2 Cup or Division 3 Cup. But you, for some reason, you can't call them mile cups. So we say plates. And, you know, Division 3, in my opinion, is every bit as important as the Division 1 guys. Because if you have, you know, fellas say, oh, Division 1, if you have the fellas to help you in Division 1, you don't have a Division 1 team. You know, I always say, you always have to have some fella to hand you the ball or pass you the ball or something like that. So, you know, there's no I in team, so, you know.
Yeah, and of course there's a great spread of clubs across the county now. Basketball has got a new rebirth. I mean, if you go down through the leagues, you'll see teams from South Kerry to Carrigrohane, yeah, to Kitimir, all the way up to North Kerry. Yeah. There seems to be a lot happening.
We have 32 clubs, I think, at the last count, like that. And as you say, like, and I must say, like, the people in Carrigrohane, you know, what they went through this year with the road being closed from 8 o'clock or 7 o'clock in the night, you know, like, they never rang us up and said, lads, we can't make a game. They either went around Kinmare or they came up Block Beam, you know, and that's the commitment. A small club down in Carrigrohane, you know, and we have big clubs then. But, you know, everyone is important, you know. The big clubs can't survive without the small clubs, you know. And, like, Carrigrohane now was a prime example of that this year. at September they informed us as a county board that they may have problems, but they never had problems. They worked around it, and the other clubs, in fairness, I don't think anyone that they rang wasn't accommodating them. So, you know, and that's what it's all about. You know, at the end of the day, you're going to have winners, but you'll have an awful lot of kids that didn't win, but they'll be back next year. You know, and that's what it's all about. Getting the kids something to do. I don't, you know, I'm a basketball man. You know, football, hurling, it's fine, but, you know, if you, there's only 15 can make the Kelly Minors and things like that, you know, so there's plenty of, you know, once kids are playing some kind of sport, it's way easier from, you know, and, you know, their minds are in a good place, you know, playing sports, so that's what it's all about, that the kids enjoy themselves.
And of course days like this don't happen by accident. I mean, there's lots of fixtures, there's lots of games played. I presume a very busy executive.
I'm blessed. You know, they say if you're a chairman, if you can delegate, you're a good chairman, and that's what it's all about. Like, I have five ladies with me and one man, you know, and in fairness, we hop off one another, we fight, we argue, the same as every committee, but at the end of the day, everyone is there for the kids, and that's what it's all about. You know, we say, you know, no one gets paid in basketball, so, you know, and that's what it's all about. You know, we get nice medals, and we look after the kids, and yeah, like, I get into trouble for saying it, but as long as the kids are looked after, I don't care. Like, the seniors, they're old enough to look after themselves, but the kids have to be looked after. Yeah, and we have loads of sponsors around the county, you know, different clubs have different sponsors and things like that. Like, and in fairness, you know, I don't think there's any club in the county that hasn't gone to someone and said, look, I need a set of jerseys, maybe €250, you know, they're getting it. Like, you'll see there, some of them have, we said, the local garage or the local centre or whatever, you know, or the local chip shop or something like that, you know, and that's great because that's bringing the community in, like, you know, and like, I think for an investment of 250 to any shop, you're probably getting it back in the the first 2 weeks or something like that.
Well, I suppose we better go back and make it 250 euros. Listen, thanks very much, Mikey. Cheers.
There you go, Mikey Fleming, of course, the chairman of the Kerry Area Basketball Board. And of course, we did go back in because there was four games to play. The first game in the morning, very early in the morning, half nine actually, was between St. Brendan's and TK Bobcats. And St. Brendan's ended up winning in a thriller. And I spoke to the winning coach afterwards, Joe Kirk.
Well, congratulations, Joe Kirk, under 17, St. Brendan's. A hard fought win in the end.
It was indeed. The only was, as you see the numbers, as I explained to you, the numbers are down because the 16 is not a low player. So, like, the numbers are low everywhere. We have six guys, and that's what we have at the moment. So, the discipline that was, that showed to stay in the game and to see out the win, like, it was fantastic. It's fantastic. Yeah. You know, they talk about senior basketball advertisement and all that. That's a great advertisement for basketball, isn't it?
Yeah, it was a fantastic game. I mean, you started slowly, 11-1 down. What was going through your head at the early doors?
I just knew that we needed to stop the play, call no timeout, to gather the lads because they're better than that. And again, early game, early in the morning, you know, I know they started quick, like, but that's what I was thinking. I wasn't really panicking at that stage because we've done this a few times this year, playing with low numbers. So, you know, we just stuck with it and turned it around, made a couple of threes in that part.
And you were back in contention at the end of the first quarter, 21-20. Huge start to the second quarter, got maybe 19 points on the trot.
Very big, yeah. We switched up the old defences a bit and they actually came at us with a zone, and you know, it suited us a lot because we like to shoot the basketball. We just like, you know, we've got stuff for that, and it worked for us. So we went on a bit of a run then, like, young Daniel got into foul trouble, then got fouled out. So then it kind of became a bit of a chore again, and fellas, I won't say panicked a bit, but fellas backed off a bit in their defence. But do you know what?
And your shooting was top notch. I mean, there was trees raining in. I mean, Rowan Healy was flying in, Braden Pearce with some terrific scores. I mean, that's a huge boost in a game like that.
Oh, it is. At that age level, it is, yeah. And Evan Daly as well. Like, he was making a couple of threes as well. So, yeah, that hurts teams. You know, like, they made a couple of them down the end there, young Martin. And that came, brought him back at us.
Yeah.
We were hoping to keep that kind of double figure lead if we could. And any time it came down to about seven, we seemed to make a three.
Yeah.
So that kind of saw through for us, I think, really. Yeah. And like, again, discipline.
Yeah. And quickly before we finish up, the standard of the game. I mean, obviously people don't want too many watching it this morning, but I mean, there is fantastic ability and great, I suppose, talent in this age group.
There is with both sides, and like, and fellas kind of like both teams kind of utilise their guys to their capacity, and they know it, and, you know. And again, they're young enough kids, under 17, you know, they're like 16-year-old lads and playing. It's a very good standard again. And again, earlier tomorrow for young fellas.
No, it is very early, actually. Finally, what's the rest of the season for you now? Like, have you a couple of league games?
We are actually playing Ballymac again next week, I think, in the league.
That'll be tasty.
It'll be different, definitely, yeah. You know. There'll be a little bit of added to it. And we're playing away in their own place as well. We've got a couple more games. We've got to go play Corbers, and we've got to go play Magic again. And they're all good games, you know. So that's it. And we've got an under-18 league, which is pretty much those guys with a couple of 18s. So
well, listen, Joe, congratulations. And
thank you.
You might hear me back again next year.
Thank you very much, Tom. And thank you. Cheers.
That's the winning under 17 by's cup champions, I suppose. Joe Kirk, a delighted man. Fantastic game, actually. As I said, kind of went down to the wire. TK Bobcats really put it up to them for long stages. Luke Griffin was impressive. Owen Moriarty and Martin McGivern was outstanding as well. And St. Brian's had plenty of great players. Braden Pearce, Evan Daly, and Rowan Healy. My God, he was throwing trees from all over the place, which was fantastic. Talking about trees, Michal Cahill, he actually managed three different teams. At 13, 14 and 15 for St. Mary's to win it. And after their game, I caught up with him, Sean O'Leary, who is the under 14 winning captain, and Conor Daly, the under 13 winning captain.
Delighted to be joined by Michal Cahill and the two winning captains from the under 13 and the under 14 cup today. Michal, it's great to win, there's great winning feeling there, but the amount of work that must go in to get a day like this must be a lot.
There is, yeah. No, to be fair, a lot of work is done by Denny Porter, who could make today, as he's sick. We went back training, I suppose, 3-4 months ago, and look, at the end of the day, you can only train as good as the players that are there. The boys are absolutely fantastic. We trained twice this week, was it, boys?
Yeah.
Twice, and everyone showed up. There's a few sick bodies, but they were still there. And like I say to them, you only play as good as you train, and they're fantastic to train. Great bunch, in fairness.
The most amazing thing about Samir is today, of course, the shooting and the defence, but the combination play, the running off the shoulder, knowing how much that takes a lot of time to coach, and you can see it running through it. I mean, when you sit back and watch your team, that must feel very pleasing.
Yeah, in fairness, though, I started doing the 15s this morning, and kind of half worried going into the game. We were missing a few big players, and I just said to the boys, look, other players need to step up, and they did. Everyone knew their job, everyone knew if there's a pass inside, when to cut, and what went. It's just whatever we did in training during the week, they did it here tonight. And that doesn't happen all the time, but it happened today, and fair play to the boys, yeah, for that.
Okay, congratulations. Great to lead a team to victory, especially as captain. A great team.
Yeah, sure, the work that Michal and Denny have like put in for us, and sure, they're taking their time out of their day to train us twice a week, so we just have to give credit to them for coaching us.
It must be enjoyable to play in a game where you get to play and get to put up the big scores, and even St. Paul's put up a massive score against you this evening. But the fact that you can even exploit yourself as well along the way and play the way you want to play.
Yeah, sure, it is great. But Paul's put up a good fight there, you know, at the start. But we were just lucky to pull away at the end, so...
Absolutely. Yeah. You'll be here for a while yet, will you?
Hopefully not.
But you must be here for a while because you won the under-13s as well. The cup is nearly as big as yourself. another big win.
Yeah.
It's fantastic to win as a captain.
It is. It's nice. The amount of work.
It's a big cup, though, right?
It's a fairly big cup. But the amount of work we put in, it's nice to see it pay off and win trophies and medals and everything.
What's the most enjoyable aspect of today?
Probably winning.
Yeah. And with your teammates,
Yeah.
Speak to us about your training. Obviously, you must train off that, do you?
We train every Tuesday and every Thursday, and an hour training, and we do shooting, layups, defense, all, everything like.
Right, so you must train at home as well, because you'd never be that good just doing 1 hour a week. So you must do an off that at home as well, must you?
Yeah. Mahal and Dini gives us things to do to practice when we're at home as well, so.
You won't give away too many more secrets now for other teams to catch up with you. All right. Listen, congratulations, Michal. Congratulations.
Thanks a million. Thank you.
There you go, Ryan O'Connor. Certainly not meant to give away secrets anyway. The winning captain, of course, of the St. Mary's team. They won the under 14 as well. The under 14s beat a very game Kilmare team, to be fair. Never gave up, competed all the way through, and had a couple of fine players in there as well. Shot a few nice scores. St. Paul's, of course, really competitive game, actually, the St. Paul's under 14 game. Now, they also won the under 15s, and afterwards I caught up with team captain Tyke McCarthy and AJ O'Connor.
Right, well, congratulations, Tadhg and AJ, both St Mary's under 15 Cup champions. It was a tough enough game.
Yeah, it was, to be fair. They stuck with us for a good lot of it. We were scoring, they were scoring, even back and forth for most of the game. We kind of pulled away towards the end of it.
Yeah. Good team performance throughout. I mean, he scored heavily enough when he needed to, and he got away when he needed to. But your defence was quite good.
Yeah, we stuck with him. Well, it was kind of dripping some parts of the game, but most of the game we stood tight. So, especially some of the shooters, they have good shooters, so we stuck to them.
Yeah. AJ, I suppose, look, winning Castle Island seems to be a winning culture. Another win along the way. What's it like to win this one?
Oh, yeah, it's great. We won it last year too, and it's very good to win it again.
And you have a number of teams in the finals today. What's going on in Castle Island? The training regime must be good.
Yeah, we train twice a week now for an hour and a half. So.
And what about your trainers? I mean, you obviously Dinny and Michal.
Yeah, Dinny and Michal are great. We had them for nearly since we started basketball now, so.
Yeah. And what's the attraction with basketball, Tadhg?
Oh, it's just those great coaches. They're putting deadly work into us. They're throw up the ages.
Yeah.
And since under 12s we've had them, really.
Yeah. There was a great team bond as well, a good team.
Yeah. We've been playing together. It's kind of been the same team, kind of up, really. Just improving the whole time. So, we're great mates off the floor as well, so it works out.
Yeah. I suppose the league is going well as well,
Yeah, that was the under 15 one now. The under 16 one, we kind of a young team. We're tipping away at it anyway.
Yeah. AJ, great performance today. Great performance as well by Keane Cahill.
Oh, yeah, he played great, to be fair. He drove through everyone.
Yeah. Is there a big competition between who gets the most?
No. We're very, very good at playing as a team, and passing around. So that's how we get doing.
Are you going back in now supporting your younger friends?
Oh, yeah.
You're hoping for another win?
Hoping for it anyway.
All right. Tadhg and AJ, thanks very much.
Thank you.
There you go, and they weren't even hoping for another winner because they actually won three of the four games there. And that, of course, is young Tadhg McCarthy and AJ O'Connor, the captains of the under 15 St Mary's team. And they beat a very game St Brendan's team in a very competitive game, but just too much firepower in the end for the St Mary's side. Now, St. Cairns GAA Club, where's that, people say? Well, it's obviously in the UK, it is in London, of course, and it was founded in 1985. And of course, it saw the retirement of their chairman, Jerome O'Shea, just before Christmas, and with it brought an end to an amazing run of 38 years as club chairman. Just think of that, 38 years, wow. He must have some pain in the head sitting at the top table for 38 years, but we might ask him that. It's an amazing length of time to be at the helm of any club. And Jerome O'Shea, of course, is actually a Beaufort man, and I'm delighted to say that we have him on the line. Jerome, good evening. Thanks for joining us here on Terrace Talk. I suppose you're still celebrating London's victory yesterday, are you?
Good evening, Donald. Yes, indeed. Nice to see London getting a win at last.
Yeah. And a famous enough win, to be fair. I mean, at inter-county level, beating Mayo.
Yeah, it's very encouraging. We had two players on it, namely... Owen Welch and Owen Hart. So we're very proud of them.
Absolutely. And of course, they probably wouldn't have been on the London team at all if there was no St. Cairns. Will you take us back to 1985 or maybe even before 1985, I presume, and maybe talk to us for a small bit, Jerome, on the formation of the club and maybe some of the characters that helped along the way?
Yeah. I joined St. Cairns in 1985. We formed a club. I moved to Edgware, and we formed a Gaelic club there, from the Catholic club. And we wanted to call them St. Anthony's after the Catholic club, but unfortunately, there was another St. Anthony's club in Reading, so we took the name of the parish priest, which was Father Kiernan, and that's how we became St. Kiernan's. We started on the 12th team in 1985, and from there till 1989, we formed the senior team with seven Beaufort men on it. Namely, I'll name them out for you because some of them are still probably listening. We had the Coffey brothers, Bernie and Sean. We had the O'Connor Brothers, Patty and Mikey O'Connor. I haven't written here somewhere.
You're all right. You had half a Beaufort with you anyway.
We had seven Beaufort men on it, and Derry Sullivan, and Jake Dial. That was our seven. And from there, we won most every grade till 1980.
You were winning in Med anyway.
89.
Yeah, and of course, a lot of that level. I mean, Jerome, you're giving football to obviously at senior level people that are travelling over maybe as well. But at the under 8s and 10s and 12s and 14s, a lot of first generation London people playing with you.
All first generation underage. Till we founded the senior team, which we had lads from every county in Ireland, mostly from Kerry. We went on then and won the senior championship in 2016.
Yeah. What was it like winning the first senior championship, Jerome? I mean, after all the years of hard work and you were outlining it there on the under 8s and 10s through the 80s and the 90s, but to get up with the big boys and win the senior championship, what did that mean for St. Cairns?
It was a great boost, and I was very proud of the lads that won it. We had seven lads that came from underage playing in the first championship in 89. And we went on and won two other championships in 2021 and 22. Last year we were beaten in the semi-final. We were going for three in a row. We were beaten in the semi-final in a replay by the eventual winners, Fulham Irish.
Yeah, and that was, you say a replay, but that was kind of an interesting game. I mean, that was a game that was stopped due to an injury as such, and it had to be played. Were you winning or losing at that time?
We were winning by a pint, and one minute of extra time left.
Oh.
And there was one of the opposition got concussed, and he was out cold, and we were waiting for the ambulance for half an hour before it arrived. So they decided to call it off. We weren't very pleased, but
I suppose safety comes first anyway. But yeah, absolutely. And of course, you were talking about 2016, but you were in the final in 2015. Did was there a lot of learning in that loss?
In 2016?
Were you in the final the year before, in 2015?
2015.
Or maybe...
Yeah, we were in the final. Oh yeah, we were beaten in the final that year.
Yeah. And did you learn a lot from that loss in 2015? I mean, you had got up with the big boys, you'd lost 2015, you won 16, which was fantastic. But sometimes they often say it takes a final before you can win one.
Yeah, I think so. We were disappointed that day as well, but we went on and won the following year, beating Kilkenny Gales, who were going for three in a row at the time. So...
And they were big. Come here. It's interesting now because you're talking about Tyrconnell Gales and I suppose Kerry or Kingdom the whole lot and different teams. How big is the GAA in London and in the greater UK, Jerome? To people who listen to Terrace Talk now and they'd be supporting their local clubs here and they'd often hear that Johnny's gone over to London, he's playing with a team and maybe some of the lucky ones will get on the London County team and might play in Division 4 or whatever. But how big a game and how important is it to Irish people in particular?
Oh, it's very exciting. in London there's top 10 clubs, and most of them would have underage teams from under 6 upwards, you know. So it's gaining momentum, especially the underage. It's very pleasing to see the London-born lads going on. At the moment, we have a senior team, which is all London-born players. We have a senior team, and we have a reserve team. So we have three teams competing in London.
That's absolutely amazing, especially the growth and the numbers as well. Come here, your own journey, it began in Beaufort. How did a Beaufort man accidentally or otherwise end up in London?
Very easily. I went to London when I was 17 in 1962. I played football with Sean McDermott the first year I went over. Then I joined the Kingdom in 1963. Played one for 7 or 8 years, and I joined Shannon Rovers for a couple of years before I finally packed it in. The reason I left the Kingdom was a lot of good players came. In the meantime, the Mahanys, the Billy Connells, and they were all Kerry standard, you know. And so we kept the intermediate team going. And in 1967, I captained the intermediate team. And with all Kerry lads in it.
Mm-hmm. And Jerome, what were the challenges, we'll say, in you said you went over in 62, you played 7 or 8 years with Sean McDermott. What were the challenges for games and games being played at the time? I'd imagine there wasn't a football pitch in every corner of London. How did people manage that way?
Yeah, there weren't many pitches in those days. New Elton was at least an hour and a half drive from where we were living in North London. There was a pitch in Greenford. There was a few council pitches which were used for training and all that. But nowadays we're spoiled, I suppose. Most clubs have their own facilities. We got a pitch from Barnet Council last year. And we're in the process of building our own clubhouse shortly. Mm-hmm. So it should come in this month. And apart from that, most clubs, as I say, have their own
pitch and identity and growth and membership. Come here, Jerome. A young Beaufort lad, who were the big Kerry names at the time before you headed over? Who were you scanning the newspaper? Who were the locals? Who were the great Beaufort men that you might have watched blowing in Beaufort playing?
Oh, there was the Lynch. Well, the Lynches come after my little time. You had Charles Shea, you had Patrick Gallivan, Beaufort. Who else? There was the Cahills, Jimmy Cahill and Sean Cahill. Kevin Coffey, of course, he played Beaufort in those days. I was 15 when I played my first game with Beaufort. Brendan Lynch was 13, I think, at the time. Wow. And Patrick Gallagher commented, he says, to Pete Coughlin, now you see why I don't bring my grandmother to matches. when you see the two of us tug it out. Beaufort were shot in those days, you know. But,
and who would you be
playing? A long way in the meantime. Three on the Kerry team on Thursday.
Absolutely. And you've turned that little wonderful under 12 pitch into a fantastic kind of field of dreams. I had him on there last year, a lovely AstroTurf pitch now, helping all the youth and everybody else around the community playing it. When you go to London, obviously you people have that kind of proud county team that, you know, I'm from Kerry and the next level is from Kerry, and there's that kind of pride, I suppose. You speak of a lot of Beaufort. I mean, obviously at the start you mentioned, was it the 7 fellas from Beaufort on some team?
The first team.
Yeah. I mean, Beaufort's a huge identity in your life, isn't it?
Say that again?
Beaufort's a huge part of your life, Jerome.
Oh, yeah, definitely. We come home every 4 or 5 times every year. And it's nice to come back, you know.
And of course, you retired after 38 years as club chairman. Now, I know a lot of fellas that kind of run out the gap after 3 years, or certainly might have been able to survive for five maybe and might take another post. But 38 years, I mean, there must have been an awful lot of development and growth off the pitch in that time by you.
There was a lot of ups and downs here. The club must have thought I was doing something right. So they kept me that long, you know. But I've indicated in the last few years that it'll be my last year. So I thought that after 38 years, it was time to retire.
Certainly, you could cash in the check. Mort really give you a few bob, I suppose, did he?
You know, Mort is a good lad. We have some very good lads in the club now, and I've no qualms about stepping down.
Yeah, and of course, Jerome, that's what it's about too. I mean, it's about leaving it in a better place, and it's about pushing it on to the next generation who are going to, I suppose, come with their own ideas and motor it up the motorway as well, maybe in another better place. And that's part of the GA legacy in many senses, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And the chap that has taken over as chairman is Declan Ryan. He's a very good lad. You have Mark Reedy from Curra, from Castle Island.
Yeah.
You have Chris Burns from Mayo, Jim Gerard O'Shea from Waterville, George the Fish O'Shea.
Yes. Yeah. You can't believe a word he says, Jerome.
No, I know. Liam Brennan from Leash, and Michael Dunne from Waterville, and also from Killarney. So the club is in good hands.
Absolutely, and some of them might even say they're from Derry Nan as well, maybe. he'll be on giving out to us. Come here, Jerome. I mean, do you get to enjoy watching the games now? Do you sit down and watch Kerry? I mean, obviously, you like I said, you mentioned there the three Beaufort men that were on the team the last day, obviously Sean Coffey, Sean O'Brien, and obviously Mike Breen. There must be a great bit of pride to think that you can take something and say, well, there's three men from my club on the Kerry team this year.
That's great. It's very pleasing to see. As Patrick Gillam says, he was afraid to bring his grandmother to the matches, but nowadays it's a different scene.
Yeah.
It's come a long way.
Yeah, it's absolutely fantastic. Come on, Jerome, is there an All-Ireland in Kerry this year?
I think so. I think we'd hope so. Well, the way they're playing against Tipperary and Limerick, but can't tell, it's early days. Of course, London are still in it.
Fair play to you. And they are still, we actually had Michael Maher on Terrace Talk last year, believe it or not, because he's got Kerry connections as well, which is quite amazing. He came over during Fela as well. He had a fantastic team from London at the time. I think they won Fela as well. So there is great football in London and great work being done in London. What does London need to do to kind of push themselves forward maybe a small bit more? They got that win, obviously, over Mayo yesterday in the Connacht League, I suppose. They're playing Roscommon now next. But do they need to win kind of maybe three or four league games every year to kind of be noticed?
Yeah, they need to. They've been unlucky over the years, but I think there's so much turnover of players, you know. You'd be very lucky to have the same team for 2 years in a row. Yeah?
And that must be difficult, because I know from my own part of the world, Chris Farley was over there, and I think he might be on the way back, on the way back, and he was a fantastic free taker as well. And obviously Mike McCarthy's over there as well from Kilcommon, so you do pick up some quality players. But I do get the point that, you know, it's hard to bid them in, because you don't have them for 5 or 6 or 7 years. They're kind of there for a year or two, and it must be a very difficult job for a manager and selectors to kind of slot some fillet in after maybe losing a talented player. Listen, Jerome, we really enjoyed the chat this evening. Congratulations on your retirement. I say your missus must be delighted that she sees more of you.
She is, yeah. She's been asking for me for a long time to retire, but it's a bit of a drug, you know.
It is a drug, but I suppose in all fairness, it was with St. Cairns and London and Kerry and Beaufort, and look, it's a good drug in that sense as well to be involved with. Jerome, delighted that you could make contact with us there this evening. Enjoy your last couple of days in Beaufort before you head back, I suppose, yeah. Home. Do you call home Beaufort or do you call home London?
We have a house in Maynooth in Carlaughlin, so we come here 4 or 5 times every year. London will be my hometown, yeah.
I suppose when you say Maynooth, Maynooth is kind of a dodgy part of the world. Is that Lone Rangers or Beaufort?
It's
disputed territory, maybe, you never know. Jerome, listen, listen, thanks very much for joining us this evening. That was, of course, Jerome O'Shea, the St. Cairns J chairman over there in London. 38 years, what an amazing length of time to be involved in a club, and unbelievable to think that one of his proudest moments was the last night when he saw 3 Beaufort men on the Kerry team. Now, of course, the GAA is back in full swing, believe it or not. It's the 8th of January, and we have 3 inter-county games played already, 2 footballers and 1, of course, by the Hurlers. Of course, they played Waterford in their opening round last Tuesday evening. Now, it seems like a week away, obviously. It is a week away. They lost out to Waterford in a kind of a very promising start in many ways, because they obviously had that many players kind of, I suppose, opting out or retiring or just stepping aside for the year that's in it, maybe. And it kind of left them with kind of a lot of new names on the Kerry panel, and I suppose a lot of people that went tonight wanted to see how these young fellas, I suppose, mixed with some older fellas, would get on against a fairly settled Waterford side, of course, managed by Davy Fitzgerald. On the line now is James McCarthy. James, of course, when you saw the Kerry team and the new names on the Kerry team, a lot of people in the crowd, James, felt like saying, wow, this is a kind of a new beginning once again. But I mean, they put up 3-12, they performed fairly well, and Waterford didn't exactly overrun them, and there was a lot of kind of positive starts, and I suppose in many ways Stephen Malumpy was looking for those kind of positive starts, particularly in the first game, James.
I suppose he'd have to be done. He's like these lads, they're coming in, they want the jersey, obviously. They don't want to be sitting inside there for a year, so, like, you know yourself, it's always the fellow in possession of the jersey is in control. So these lads put their name on the jersey, put their stamp on it, and they're in there straight away. No, they did well. You knew Water wanted to press as well, like Beckler, Davy Fitz, like they always, and they were like Kerry, they lost a lot of their panel as well. So, like, the both teams are kind of nearly more experimental, like, really, and then they had a lot of young lads coming in, and even Kerry still had a nice bit of experience. You had Griffin, you still had Shane Conway, you still had Fanon Maxie, you still had Michael Lean, you still had lads still in there, like, so good lads in there, they need them. They're really going to have to come to the fore now. They always maybe, as far as the other first look up to, they always said maybe Collins, maybe, and they had Mikey Boyle, because they were the leaders on the panel before. Now you see Finnan, maybe, and maybe Michael Lee, and these guys will step up to that role now, and it was promising. Like I said, now they've Tipperary on Sunday, that'll be another asset test for them.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, Finnan was I suppose he wasn't selected to play in the first 15. He was sitting on the bench, and of course he came in last minute, named it a corner four, but he ended up kind of in a sweeping role between the, I suppose, the full back line and the half back line, and he gave kind of great strength there, James. I mean, like, he gathered some terrific balls, and of course, being the long puck champion, it's easy to get the ball out fairly quickly. But he will have a very important year ahead of him.
He will, and like he had a massive year last year. Like, it's gonna be hard to see where can this man go now at the moment. Like, he's really at the top of his game, and like, if you can, like, the kind of fella he is, he's going to stay at the top of his game. He's a superb athlete, and he's a superb hurler, and his attitude is brilliant. Mm-hmm. So he's all the right ingredients to be a top player, and he'd be captain material. I don't know what way they picked their captains, what way they picked their captains on the team, but he'd be natural leader anyway, without even having to have the captain role put on him. But he will be one of the main players this year, and hopefully that it's just a pity that the lads that have gone through, as you said, maybe stepped aside for a year or retirement or whatever, that they didn't get the reward from their Joe McDonough finals. It's just a pity that maybe they went out like that. And if whether they return or maybe come back next year or year after, or maybe some people are done, they give great service to people that have left this year. So it's a pity they didn't get the reward for all the effort they put in.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And of course, look, in the game itself, obviously, look, it kind of even at the start, when you looked at Waterford and you looked at Kerry, you were saying, God almighty, the Waterford men looked like 6'8" and they were big and strong and the whole lot and the strapping. And it kind of looked as if, you know, before the game ever started, looking at them, that Kerry weren't at the races or going to be at the races. But Kerry kind of surprised them. I mean, they stuck with Waterford for long enough through the game. I mean, to be fair, I mean, at one stage, I suppose the goal kind of was a bit of a lap and concentration from the Kerry aspect, where a ball went in over the top and was back in the net, 1-4 to 3 points, and they kind of stayed with him, and it was 1-11 to 1-6, and they got back in. But one of the, I suppose, the crucial points was Shane Conway kept him in contact with points and with frees that were won, and obviously he was sharp with the penalties as well. I mean, how important will his role be this year, particularly we'll say from dead balls?
I think, you know, it's in division two, dead ball, you know, it's going to be 50%. There's more, way more than you see in the Division 1 level. The dead ball specialists are vital these days. And we need a bigger return from our forwards, don't we? You see yourself, look at the other players that scored on the day. Ronan Walsh scored. There was one or two, maybe more.
Mm-hmm. Michal Dean scored, and Den Goggin scored one wonderful point, actually, from way over the sideline, to be fair.
Yes.
But like you said, they need to be scoring a little bit more. Dermot Quirk in goal, Dr. Crokes, Luke Crowley, of course, Ratmore, he came on. A lot of clubs that you probably wouldn't have associated in your time, James, on in and around at intercountry level. It's probably a good enough thing that guys are pushing through from different clubs and certainly getting a taste of it.
It's a fact. Like Tom Doyle there, well, the forwards, these are good hurlers. They've proved themselves, and they've bought into what Stephen Lumpy's at. So that's half the battle. Really, like you will develop your skills. If they stick at it and stick in, once you get into a setup like a Kerry setup, professional setup, you are going to improve. And it's always been maybe a problem with Kerry Hurling that we couldn't get the lads in there. And then they found out once they're in there, Jesus Christ, I nearly saved myself. I'm slow enough going in there. But once you're in there, then it's you kind of get, I won't say addicted to the environment, but you actually get into it and you really get a taste for it and you really get a hunger for it. And some of these fellas will see it, like, and hopefully they will stick at it. Like you've Fionn Sullivan there too from Kinmare, and you've Tom Dyle, you've all these. They're once in a new life. They've been around the panel, knocking around the panel, but they're new life. There's out of North Kerry boys, we'll say, but all the North Kerry boys stuck in there together. It's good to see new players, new talent coming in. It's just a different look on the team, a different kind of approach too, maybe.
And Massey O'Connor can still stick a ball in the back of the net from 4 yards.
Look, we've won championships with that, so we're not going to change that now. That ain't going to change. If Massey develops the approach, so can we, the Kerry team, the Kerry seniors, just get the most out of Massey? That's what Massey's going to give you. Massey might not be involved in the game for maybe 15 minutes, but then he could poach 2 goals in space of 5 minutes. That's what you have to get from Massey. You're going to get that from Massey. We know that, so I think a lot of teams on the county know that. But can we kind of transfer that to the inter-county setup? Maybe you have to kind of wait for that patience. Can you do that thing? Would you wait for Aaron Gillan? Maybe Gillan gets no puck, but then he gets 2 goals in the last 5 minutes. Limerick, he's proven and done that. Like, so maybe he's that kind of poacher.
Fair play. Well, of course, there are questions that Stephen Malumpy and his selectors will have, and all very good questions. And I think, to be fair, I mean, the majority of people that left Austin Stack Park having watched the first game would say, you know, God, you know, it's probably a very long year there ahead of them. But I mean, it's always great to get off to a positive start. And you are right, they are facing Tipperary again on Sunday. And again, it's kind of a big game ahead of what will be a crucial league.
It should be like it. You hope, John, that this can push them on. You hope maybe just the injection of maybe new blood might be the catalyst that gets you over to the line for Division 2 and gets you into Division 1. Whatever way, you know, so if there's talk of new structures in Division 1A, 1B, or whatever the new structures, whatever they may be. But put yourself in the equation anyway. Like, if you get promoted to Division 1, I can't see how they can regrade you. No, it's been done before, Donald, and it's happened to us. I've talked to you before. We won the league in 2001. We were regraded straight away. We were supposed to go to Division 1 that time, and they changed structures as well that time. I hope it doesn't happen to the boys now that something like that happens again, that the whole restructure comes around.
Absolutely.
In bad timing. Like, but once you've won your way up, you can talk about the rest of the politics afterwards, as I say.
Fair pleasure. James McCarthy, a man from politics and football and hurling as well. James, listen, thanks for joining us this evening. We'll catch up during the year, and we'll keep an eye on the Kerry hurlers as well. That's James McCarthy. We'll take a break. Slightly later than usual for John Kennedy and Liam Brosnan, but obviously, John Kennedy, we had to push things to European time tonight so Liam Brosnan could tune in from the pool, is it?
Yeah, I hope he's enjoying himself in the pool, near the pool anyway, Donald.
God almighty, it is great. And Richard Hall is in Eastern Europe, leaving James alone. Come here, John Kennedy. It's an amazing time of year to be back playing football. Kerry, two games under the belt already. It only feels like a week ago that we're talking about Christmas. And has Christmas come early for Jack O'Connor in many senses? Two very big, handy wins. Remember this time last year we were trying to claim the positives out of a near win against Clare that we kind of won at the very end, and an awful hiding against Cork. We're trying to pick the benefits and the bonuses out of it. But Jack certainly would be happy with his first two outings, irrespective of the opposition and irrespective of their maybe quality.
Oh, there's no doubt. Look, I mean, 3-20 against Tipperary, 6-18 against Limerick. A lot of new players tried. And that's what it's about. And I think even more important, I think, is, you know, the form of some of the established guys, particularly Sean O'Shea, looks really sharp. Great to see Joe Connor back after that horrendous injury, you know, and Gavin White back fit again. And it augurs well for the season ahead. And I suppose out of the McGrath Cup, apart from winning it, like, which Jack is so competitive, he'd want to win every competition he's in, but I think he needs that three or four players. And, you know, guys like Sean O'Brien, very impressive against Tipperary again the last day. He's a great athlete, you know. Sean Coffey coming into goals, another option as a goalie, like, you know, because obviously Shane Ryan is number one, but it's all about the backup and competition within the squad, and that's critical. Now, on the other hand, Donald, we have to look at it enough to say that the standard of Munster football at the moment, Clare, Limerick, Waterford and Tipperary, it's gone way back. Mm-hmm. That's not Jack O'Connor's problem. You know, I think Cork have come up as well. But look, it's disappointing because these counties were competitive, as you said in the intro there, look, and you need them competitive. For a Munster Championship campaign down the road, you need competitive matches going into the All-Ireland series. But look, for now, a great start, you know, no serious injuries, lads coming back in, and some of the established players wanting to play and getting game time. Very positive.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the midfield. I mean, it's the one area people are looking for. And of course, we're basing it on what we've seen. And obviously, I suppose you can't really litmus test what we've seen because the opposition, to be fair to them, with the greatest respect, possibly aren't as organised or as ready as Kerry are, because Kerry are looking, I suppose, at the end of the day, Kerry are looking at a higher prize at the end of the season, maybe Limerick kind of doing their best and tip the same. But looking at the midfield prospects and Joe O'Connor, and obviously there's a lot made of Joe, and I suppose there's going to be a lot of light on Joe throughout the year, because obviously he missed last year. He was a fantastic player, he's a fantastic player, of course, and he needs a big season. But so far he has built up and lived up to every of the high billing.
There's no doubt. Look, everyone in the county was disappointed for Joe when he suffered that injury, you know, and it's a long road back, and he's back now. And it was a year, I think, that people were looking forward to seeing Joe involved, and then the injury came. But look, he's back in there. Midfield is critical and is crucial. Like, David Moore has retired, Jack Barry gone for a year. You need the backup. You have Dermot O'Connor, Barry Dan O'Sullivan, and who's, I think, very underrated, and then Joe O'Connor, and maybe Sean O'Brien is an option. He started there the last day against Limerick, but Joe, it's great to see him back. It's a hard work. It's a lonely place to be with a cruciate injury, and we wish him well for the season ahead, because it's great to see him back, and he seems to be in great shape.
Mm-hmm. Speaking about great shape, the style of football, maybe it's easier to play at the moment, but Jack O'Connor's teams are, by and large, when they're allowed to play, maybe they're a foot passing team, you know, the kick passing, the fast movement. A lot of the scores, a lot of the goals scored, particularly against Limerick the last day, quick movement, long ball, and Sean O'Shea in an unusual enough position in the full forward line, creating Rick. Is it a position that he could have?
He could have, Donald, in fairness. Like, Sean, he's a natural footballer. He's a central player, 11 or 14. Near goals, he's lethal. And, you know, I think it's all about the supply. And like you said, the kick passing, you know, the gain is there. Like, Andrew Villan, Ronan Buckley of the team that played the last day, we'll say Killian Burke, Keith Evans. These guys, they're all natural footballers. And it's one of the things we have in Kerry. We have great kickers. And some of the ball going in, any team that Jack puts out, you know, they're direct. And the ball is travelling, you know, diagonal ball going in. And if we have, you know, you look at the Cliffords to come back, and you look at Paul Gill, Ganian. I mean, it's up front. I think we have so many options. But Sean O'Shea certainly, maybe his form maybe dipped a little bit last year for one reason or another, but he looks a lot sharper this year, so early in the season. He's kicking really well and he's ravenous for it, and that has to be positive for Kerry and for Kerry supporters.
I remember three or four months ago we sat here and we picked the Terrace Talk team of the championship, and a lot of people were questioning our Conor Beck selection. Obviously Damien Burke from the Gael, he really has bedded into the senior team and has had two very impressive outings.
Yeah, he's a great man marker, and Liam and myself said that we I think we mentioned it earlier tonight.
Well, I think it was you that picked him. Liam didn't pick him at all, I don't think.
Yeah, well, Liam went ahead with me, all right, I think, in fairness. But look, to be fair, Don, I'd say he's one of the man markers in the county championship, you know, and he was on the best player in the opposition, and he acquitted himself very, very well. And it's great to see these guys. The one thing about Jack and the management team, they're giving the guys the chance. It's up to themselves afterwards, you know. Are we good enough when we're in there? And if we're not in, there's no excuse. But he certainly is one, and he's acquitted himself well. It takes a bit to adjust to that level, the intensity of it and the physicality of it. But look, he's in there, and the longer he's in and the longer he's involved inside, when you're marking the likes of Sean O'Shea, look, and Paul Ganey and the Cliffords inside the training, you have to improve, and that's the level they have to get to.
Yeah, and it's amazing as people talk about the form of the county championship, and of course we all associate East Kerry, of course, with being the form. But I mean, when you have Sean Coffey going into goal, you have Mike Breen, you have Sean O'Brien, you have Keith Evans, and you have Killian Burke, all coming in off the back of a fantastic county championship where they just finished up short. Keith Evans looks very lively.
Yeah, great pace, and you know, he's a guy that takes on defences, and I think he could have a role to play again when he develops on, you know, Killian Burke on the other side as well. Like, these are exciting young talents, and you know, they're getting their opportunity, and you know, while, as we said earlier on, they'll meet stiffer tests ahead, of course, there's no doubt about that, but it's a step up from county championship to the inter-county scene at McGrath Cup, and again to the league, and then ultimately to the championship. But Keith certainly, he has all the credentials. Liam has been singing his praises for quite some time. Mm-hmm. He has all the credentials necessary. You know, when you get to Croke Park, and that's what we ultimately look at, what you need there, you need football skills, obviously, but you need pace, and he certainly has that in abundance.
Yeah. Another big season ahead for this particular guy, Stephen Uckenbar. The whole county is wishing and willing and hoping that he can push through. He got a couple of glimpses. I mean, he played the second half in one game. He played centre-back for the Limerick game. He will have a big season injury-free.
Injury-free, and that's the very thing, you hit the nail on the head, injury-free. There's no doubt about ability, physicality, football, he has all that, but it's just that run of injuries, and to get a clear run and to get a season behind him without injuries, that's what we're looking forward to in Kerry, because he has a part to play wherever that may be. Defence, maybe around the middle of the field or whatever, he has all the attributes that you need, but the injury-free is the one, because it has been a horrendous time for him. One injury after another, and hopefully now that he has put that behind him and he can focus and look forward to a great year ahead.
When Limerick togged out the last day, Dara Shukru, Tadhg Shukru, and of course our own Daniel Daly from St. Mary's Land back there, three men that togged out for South Kerry against Field Rangers in the county championship a couple of years ago and gave them a good beating back in Milltown that evening, playing for Limerick. It's a big part and it's a big achievement for these lads to play inter-county football.
Oh, sure, there's no doubt, you know, I mean, it's great. It's great to wear the county jersey in whatever county you're in. And you know, obviously, these guys are in the Limerick panel now, and there's great credit due to Jimmy Lee, like, you know, because Limerick are in transition. You know, they've lost quite a number of players in the last 12 months. A lot of retirements when Jimmy came in there, because they had great service given. And he's a big panel. You know, I think he was quoted afterwards saying Antrim in the first round, the league is his one. But isn't it great for these guys to be playing inter-county football and to be representing Limerick, you know, their adopted county now, and we wish him well for the year ahead. And you couldn't get a better GA man than Jimmy Lee, following on from his brother Billy, and we wish him well too, because it's a tough task. It's easy to take over when things are going really well, but when things are going poorly, it's a great sign of an individual that he puts his neck on the line and he goes out there looking, got a tremendous hammer scoring at the weekend, but he still saw green shoots afterwards, and you have to look at the positive sides, and we wish Limerick well too.
Mm-hmm. Of course, Darragh Shukr from Tusas got 2 points, and Daniel Daly got 2 points. That was 4 points. And of course, not forgetting Teddy Doyle, of course, who's playing midfield for Tipperary. John Kennedy, coming home is the All-Ireland Club Championship, coming home to Listowel. A fantastic win over the Mayo champions at the weekend, playing Arvin out of Cavan. And it's something that I suppose when they actually come out every year, we look at the junior champions and we kind of put an unfair tag on them that, oh, they're going to win the All-Ireland, they're going to win the All-Ireland. And I suppose the first step of trying to win the All-Ireland is getting there. Very impressive at the weekend, they were.
Very impressive. You know, you play what's in front of you, and there's people talking about standards and so on and so forth, but it's hands off to Listowel. Look, they're heading to Croke Park next weekend. What a great boost for the town and for the club, for the people involved. But a great boost for North Kerry football. You know, much maligned on over the last number of years, like about the standards and that. We have a team going from the district now to Croke Park next weekend. And I was just, you know, looking at it last night, like the amount of guys that have worn the Kerry jersey, you know, Eddie Brown, Brian Sweeney, Niall Collins, Jamie McVeigh, Eddie Healy, Dara Lynch, Davy Keane, John McCarthy, Jonah Level, George O'Brien's played with Cork, the National League. Like, that's a tremendous squad to have, mm-hmm. tremendous experience. You know, and going into Croke Park, you know, you need that experience. Arbor are going to be very tough. I think I spoke to Tadhg Moriarty the evening they beat Ballymac in the county final, and looking ahead, they were one of the teams that was mentioned, were the Cavan guys, and they hadn't come out of Cavan at the time. But look, Listowel are in tremendous shape, you know, well trained and coached by the lads in the Murphy, look, and Mark Shea and the lads. They have a tremendous job doing with them. I think they have great pace. Croke Park will suit them, and you know, we hope that they can bring back the All Ireland crown to the district again, and to the county, because to carry on the tradition that Kerry clubs have done, and we wish them well. And it's a tremendous boost. There's a feel good factor around the town. You know, people are talking about nothing only football. There's flags and buntings everywhere, and it's a carnival atmosphere. And you know, it's going to make a great weekend and week in Listowel if they can do it.
Mm-hmm. And of course, an awful lot of work goes on off the field as well to get them to an All-Ireland. I suppose you don't get there for free either. A lot of financial help needed along the way, and a lot of businesses coming on board and helping them, and they had their race night as well there recently in Christie's, and the whole lot, and all this kind of feeds into the whole lot. But it also helps grow a club as well, because anybody that has been on this journey with their own club or even neighbouring clubs, it kind of, I suppose, brings people that maybe fell in or fell out of love with Listowel at various different points. I mean, when it comes to an All-Ireland, it's certainly all hands on deck, and everybody wants to be part of that journey.
There's no doubt. I mean, there's tremendous rivalry in every district, and ours here is no different. And you know, people love to have a cut off the likes of Listowel in an All Kerry championship. But the minute they won the county, you know, and even before it, everyone was behind them. They're all supporting Listowel, and as you said, tremendous club. Like, and people like Noel Kennelly, the chairman, Nora Brown, the secretary, like, you know, they're leading by example, you know, and the work that's going in there, the facilities they have inside there, and it's a credit to them. And you know, I think the rising tide will lift all boats, Donal, and I think that this will bring on the standard in North Kerry, because there'll be clubs out there saying, geez, you know, we could have a cut of those guys in a North Kerry league or championship, and that's what improves the whole situation, and you know, that's what keeps it going.
Mm-hmm. And of course they could backbone Field Rangers next year, John, as well, for you.
They could backbone Field Rangers, is right, or maybe there'll be Field Rangers and Shannon Rangers together, don't we? Don't know. But
a United Rangers.
That's another debate.
God, we have no time for that anyway. Come here to me. Castlehaven got over Dingle, and of course we were looking at Dingle and we're saying, God, how unfortunate, how unlucky on the penalties. And it was Castlehaven, once they got past the gate, thought they'd probably get in, but St. Bridget stopped them.
They did, yeah. Bridges are a great, you know, two great clubs, and yeah, you know, a lot of tradition there. But you know, Castlehaven, like, you, we saw what the Cahalans looking, and these guys, the Maguires and Mark Collins and these guys and the Hurleys, what it meant to them, look, and just got over the line with penalties, you know, against Dingle, just came up short. It's a very narrow line, you know, a tremendous move there yesterday, Donal, and I think it was Brian Hurley, flicked it onto Rory Maguire, the fullback. He went through and a rasper came off the crossbar. Like 6 inches lower and Castlehaven could be in the All-Ireland Club final. But that's football. And, you know, the Bridgets, coached by Liz Dolman, great, great coach, Jerome Stack. And he's carrying his troops to Croke Park. And, you know, this guy is he's in the Donny Buckley mould as a coach. He thinks a lot about the game. He's been very successful. And I've no doubt he'll have Bridgets. While their hands will be full against the guys from Derry, you know what he grand. But look, I'd be thinking these guys are in, they're in the long grass, they're in an All Ireland final, and you know they've come through a tough campaign and they're there in merit.
Mm-hmm. We had a caller in earlier, and he was saying that there was a number of kind of North Kerry Mistool connections with St Bridges as well. There might be a few North Kerry fathers on that team as well. On the other game, we could hardly see it. We don't know, did Kilmacud play 25 or 30 players in the dark or whoever it was? But first of all, the conditions before we discuss the game. Speaking to some of the players, actually, they felt it was fine. You know, when you're on the field, it's not as bad. It was an awful thing to watch on television if you could see it. Game went ahead in regardless.
I think, you know, as you said, being on the field might have been different from me watching in the television. But, you know, Conor Lane, very experienced referee, gave it the go-ahead to go. It went ahead. And it's just a pity because as a spectacle, you know, two great teams. What happened last year was there in the background, even though, you know, the Glen boys mightn't admit it. But look, there was a bit of hurt there after it. Kilmacud had been fantastic champions. They've been great ambassadors for Dublin and for Leinster football. And, you know, I think a lot of people, neutrals around, would be quietly delighted that the Glen got over it now in an All-Ireland final. And, you know, so close again. How Shane Welsh missed that chance near the end, you know, it could have been another a different outcome. It could have been a draw, it could have been extra time, it could have been a replay, we don't know. But you know, there's Malik O'Rourke has great work done with those lads, and great respect there between himself and Robbie Brennan, the Kilmacud manager. Great, you know, two great footballing men. Yeah. And a great game in the conditions, and it's just a pity.
And a big that, score as well, to be fair. Like, I mean,
big score
as well.
Look at the talent, and look at the inter-county footballers you've on both sides going. So the quality was there.
Will Jack be hoping that the Glen go on another week or two before they mightn't arrive back at all for the first Derry game, maybe?
He probably will. It is intriguing. Like, look, we're talking about the National League and you know, we're just a week after Christmas, and there's some outwatering clashes ahead. Mm-hmm. And you look at even the new management teams that are in place, what they bring to it. Mickey Hapton, Derry, look, I mean, so much has been said already. Will he improve them? Can he get them over the line? All these questions will remain to be answered in the coming months. But it's already whetting the appetite.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, we have Jimmy McGuinness with the Donegal boys back as well. And like I said, there is going to be plenty of questions over it. Quickly, John, who will win it? Will it be Roscommon or will it be Derry?
I have a feeling the experience Derry have. I think they'll share it.
I was sure now you'd back Jerome Stack. My God, I'll wait.
No, and it's not going against Jerome, but I think these guys, there is a hurt there. There is a focus.
Yeah.
And even after the game, you could see it. Supporters celebrating everything. There was a level-headedness about the, you know, Conor Glass and these fellas. There's unfinished business as far as I look at it. Now, it's going to be a real titanic struggle, but I think they'll share it.
Absolutely. And in a quick word, the McGrath Cup, we think it's going ahead in Tralee. Cork Courts have to be sure to qualify for it. It's a big test for Jack, very early doors, but like you said, very early, he'll want to win it.
Oh, he'll want to win it. Look, Jack is competitive, and you know, it's always good to put a marker down early on with Cork. There's little rumblings about Cork on the way back, and the signs are there, and you know, meet them in a McGrath Cup final and putting one over them, that'll be a nice start to the 2024.
There you go. You're whetting the appetite already. And of course, your man will be back with his son 10 and everything the next day, and maybe he might bring us an old cap or something. You never know. Listen, John Kennedy, thanks for going solo this evening. James McCarthy going solo as well earlier. And of course, Rich Dar is on holidays as well. You're obviously the pundits that didn't get paid, John, are you?
No, we didn't get it. We're waiting for that envelope, Donald, but it'll come sometime, I suppose.
I think this is in the post somewhere. Ivan was posting it there with a year or two. Come here, John Kennedy, thanks very much. And that, of course, was Terrace Talk this evening. John Kennedy, finish up our football chat. James McCarthy, of course, on the hurling. We spoke to Jerome O'Shea there earlier, just after 7 o'clock. 38 years as the club chairman in St. Cairns, and he's still love of Beaufort and Kerry. And St. Cairns is all great. And, of course, we had the love of darts early on, the Kerry darts. team, male and female. Anybody can play it. And if it's something that you want to get involved with, darts, check up the Kerry Darts Facebook page there as well. There's a number of events and teams and every sort of information there. We will do all this again next year. It's my first time meeting Mary Conroy in 2024. She's in great form anyway. She hardly said hello to me at all. I might have got a bit of a wave. She's up next with Talk Sauce. Keane doing a fantastic job, and Ivan was around there somewhere. I know he's hardly gone home, is he? He's still there somewhere. We'll do it all again next week.